The deal I made with the seller is 1 year, amortized over 7. The end of September will be the 1 year, and that is where I should have 1 year of data stabilized. I said, if I can get it refinanced there, if it's in that cycle, that's the way I'm going to see if I can get into another deal.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, everybody, welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. This is where we dissect deals, and I am with Glendon Logan. And Glendon, tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Glendon Logan, originally from Jamaica in West Indies, down south of Cuba. And I immigrated to the U.S. in 2012. My engineer training been working in metal and aluminum, steel, and mining industry, and reasonably good job, well paid job. But my father was a builder, construction builder, build houses, and I got here in the US and I wanted to get into houses. And then after exploring, I realized that multifamily is better. So I signed up with Ari Mentor, and here I am exploring the market and the opportunities.
Awesome. Did your father hold any properties or did he sell them all?
He sold them all. I held properties there. I had a 10-unit complex that he helped me to build. And then when I moved here, I let go of it.
Oh, I see. So you have a little bit of experience investing in multifamily properties in Jamaica?
Yes.
That's interesting. How are the laws different there in terms of, say, the tenant laws, the buying and selling of the properties? How do they compare to the U.S.?
They are relaxed and the market is young. You can look at it as it is not as mature as it is here. And it's easier to kick a tenant out and stuff like that.
If they don't pay, you can just kick them out because they can go live on the beach, right?
Yes.
All right. This is your very first deal. It's an unusual first deal. So let's talk about it. Tell everybody what you bought.
Okay. So I bought 6-unit mobile home park. And it's a park where the landlord owns the trailers. It's not pad system, the usual pad service system. It's one where you own the trailers. So I got it with 6 units. The seller was progressing to bigger deals. So I was letting go of some small deals. And I got in on the bottom because if I had gotten in early, I sure would have taken other deals from him. He had some quad and duplexes also that he let go of. So I saw this one and I held on to it.
So is this deal in your backyard or how did you come across this deal?
Well, I was searching on Craigslist and that's when I saw the other deals and I called up the broker who introduced me to the young man who was selling this property. And it is actually more than almost 2 hours drive from my house. It's here in North Carolina.
Okay.
It's north of Charlotte.
So mobile home parks are underwritten the same as apartments. I've had a lot of people come through our mentorship program and multifamily millions training and go out and buy mobile home parks instead of apartments. So that's not unusual all through the years. So on this particular deal, though, what was the asking price?
It was $300,000 for the park 6-unit. Mm-hmm. I looked at it and I offered him $275,000 and he came back and...
What did you base that $25,000 haircut on?
Based on the advertise it with over 12%. He said greater than 12% cash flow. I asked him for his rent roll.
Yeah.
So his rent roll was very patchy. He could not deliver on that. And when he sent it and I looked at it, I said, to get it over 12%, I have to go $275,000. And he said, no way, he would not go any lower than $295,000. So I said, let me take a look. And I went out, take a look and interact with the tenants. And then I came back and I said, okay, there were a few units that needed some repairs, some work done to them. And he said that that's built into the price. We look at it and we agreed on $290,000 and he will fix number one unit, which was the worst of them all.
Okay, so you agreed on $290,000, the cash on cash return. Were you paying cash for this or were you getting financing?
So he would give me $100,000 seller's finance, which I'm still paying at the moment.
Where's the rest of the money coming from?
and using my personal money. So when I joined Harry Mentor and we went through the classes, we talk about you should be ready to pay the earnest money or have something put aside ready just in case you have to put some earnest money to secure a deal while you're analyzing it. So I put some cash away in just in case while I analyze deal. So I took that, my earnest money, cash, and put it into this deal.
So on this type of a deal, what type of expenses do you typically have?
There are just a few legal expenses. The closing costs, given that I was not taking a loan from an institution, there was no closing cost there. There were a sharing of the legal fee. I paid about $500.
Well, what about like the monthly expenses? You got trash?
Oh, yes. I was talking about closing. Here, I have trash, and we actually got the water is coming from a well. So I just have a well pump maintenance. And twice per year, the city do a water quality test, which is very minimal. The well pump, the seller had a new pump. He purchased and had it in a storeroom. And he installed, I got him to install that pump also at the beginning there. That's a part of the agreement we came to. So I got a new pump installed and no water bill. I have a common era light, which turns out to be very low. I had budgeted about $75. I went to the utility company, realized that he never paid more than $50 any month. And since I had it, my bill, I put in LED lights, my bill is just $28 per month.
Now, so these trailers have separate meters?
Yes, and tenant pays.
So do they have like a telephone pole? Where do they put the meter?
Okay, so the meters are actually at each trailer.
Yeah. They go into a slot in the trailer? They're built like for a meter?
Oh, yes, it was built that way. Yeah.
All right. And what about heat?
It's heat pump here in North Carolina. So it's electrical. So they pay for their own heat.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. The cost is lawn care. It's not all year round. Now I'm doing it every 2 weeks. We're cutting the grass now. Garbage, trash, which is paid on a monthly basis, and it is relatively cheap here also. And then the common year light, the water is basically free. It is on the electric bill. So it's two bulbs and one water pump.
So with all of that, that's very minimal fees. Your next deal, you probably scale that up. So what's your cash flow?
My cash flow right now is $4,025 per month, which is what, around 43, 40.
Did you do the calculations to determine what, if you got a mortgage on the property, what your payment would be?
Yes, I did. And it was coming out pretty good. My payment would have been, I have it here. I did, if I had done it over 20 years, my payment would be just over, would have been $17,000 per year.
Which is about $1,100
a month. Yes. Right. So that is why I go with the seller's finance and do it over 1 year and come back to the same payment.
So are you going to refinance the deal? Pull your cash back out, pay off the seller?
Exactly. So the plan, deal I made with the seller is 1 year. Amortize over 1 year, close the loan. So the end of September will be the 1 year. And that is when I should 1 year of data stabilize. And that's when I'm looking at doing my refinancing and see if I'm looking at the calendar, looking at the economic climate. And I said, if I can get it refinanced there, I'm looking at my interest rate. 5.9 was the last discussion I had. Percent was the last discussion. I'm using that calculation. And if the market is in the cycle, as taught by Ari Mentor, and we look at it, if it's in that cycle where it's right, that is the decision. That's the way I'm going to see if I can get into another deal.
Excellent. So you're going to have approximately $3,000 a month in cash flow net after you pay your mortgage and the expenses?
Right. I'm doing pretty well on this deal. I have tenant that I have to evict. You might have a miss, but $3,500, $3,600 per month putting away, preparing for our next opportunity.
That's great. So who finances something like this?
Okay. I spoke with Ari Mentor, one in my, I have a contact deck, which I built since started with Ari Mentor. Yeah. And he said, get the information together, get the cash flow of all your documents, and we will analyze it and see what is available. But he said that he can find someone who would finance it.
Okay. And another answer to that question is typically a credit union. Whatever the city is in, every city pretty much has a credit union or close. This is a credit union deal for sure.
Yeah. And the local bank. So I opened an account with a local bank here.
Yeah.
And they seem receptive, but I'm not ready. So I'm not looking at refinancing at the moment with them.
By the way, I got to tell you a story about the first time I was in Jamaica. So this is years ago. And I was with my best friend, Rob, who I started investing in apartments with. And we probably had like three or four deals. They were all 3 to 6 unit properties. We were still pretty much poor, but we started making money. So like, let's go to Jamaica, right? So we go to Jamaica. And back then I negotiated everything because I didn't have money to buy stuff. They have, you know, those beautiful wood carvings down there. So I checked all the shops and I found the one that I want. All I could afford was one. I found the one I wanted. It was like a fish. It was this big. It was flat, but it stood up and it was just beautiful. I think it was $90. That was the asking price. So when I was talking to Rob, I said, yeah, I said, I'm going to go back for that fish. I said, but I'm not going to pay any more than $50 for it. And he said, oh, okay. So we went in and we started going back and forth, right? And like that guy was a really hard negotiator. I started at 35 and he's like, no, man. He says, you got to pay $80 for this, $80. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to pay 80. The most I'll pay is 40. And he says, no, man. And we go back and forth. But to make a long story short, right, we're at 45. I had him at $45, right? And I tried to do the walkaway close. So I said, listen, if I can't get this for $45, I'm walking out that door right now. And he says, no, man, no. He says, $50. And I says, nope, when I start walking, right? And Rob turns to me and he says, Dave, you said you would pay 50 for it. Why not just take it? And that guy smiled so bright.
Yeah.
I just looked, I'm like, oh, damn.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I pulled the 50 out of my pocket. Like, here you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he blew it for me. What was unusual about this deal?
Yeah, because all the classes we had there were talking about multifamily. I was thinking it's not brick and mortar, so to speak. And I was saying, then I went and I realized the seller was a little not as organized as I thought he would have been, because I had to get the history on the records on the utility, the light bill. I have to get to the trash company. And I'm using the same trash company now. They are very reasonable and very cooperative.
So that brings up a good point. So if he didn't have any due diligence, you had to go in and create it. So basically you went to the trash company and get the bills. Did you need to get his like sign off on that? Or would they just give you the history of the property?
I called them up and they instantly assumed that I was he.
Oh.
I continued with that. They got me the information. Then I spoke with him and let him know. And he called them, and because he was supposed to call him to give them permission to talk with him, but he did not. What happened? He was in the middle of getting married at the time.
Oh.
So he wanted to close his deal to move on to his wedding and go on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
Which he ended up having to delay a month because of what was happening with his life. So I got the information. I called the power company. I called the trash people. And the people were taking care of the lawn. When I got there, it was like 3 feet tall grass around.
Wow.
Just the driveway. And I said, they were concerned that snakes might be inside here. And they had like sod in the yard that they prepared to spread for the spring. And it was now, summer was ending. And they still have it there, etc. So all these things, I got him to address most of them. Even that, got him to spread and remove excess and guard, pick up the yard. So when I did that, even the neighborhood was saying, oh, it is looking nice. Thanks. We're happy to see that someone is cleaning up the area.
No, that's good. I was going to say, what about rent collections? Because you said this is about 2 hours away from you. So what are you doing about rent collections?
I start using Tenant Cloud. It allows you to even pay your rent with a credit card, any bank account, credit card, etc. And then there I have two vets, an older guy and a younger one. And they just buy money orders and post them to me.
You don't have to go out there for any rents. How often do you visit the property?
Okay. I usually go every other month, end up not being there. I was supposed to be there last month. I didn't make, but I'll be going this month again. But every other month, I have repair guy on call. We have phone conversation every Sunday afternoon, and we do monthly written report. And we discuss if a job like the main water line broke, we discuss it online. I got myself a Lowe's card where I could order parts at Lowe's and he could pick it up.
Oh, excellent.
And do whatever.
What's the most common maintenance request for a park, this mobile home park?
Okay. The water flow sometimes. I got a few of those. And then the biggest thing is a breaker that trips. Then I realized that things were undersized and so forth. Like I installed a new water heater. He had a storeroom and he had water heater, the water pump and a few things in there.
Yeah.
So I decided to use them up. And the breaker was undersized. You change a breaker. You have a raccoon went under one of the trailer and threw up all the cables. To rewire one. Yeah.
I get raccoons around my area a lot. They try to get into the eaves of the house.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So when you said water flow, does that mean that the water flow is low?
No, it's high. The pump was set at very high pressure.
So oh, it and it's coming out too fast?
Yeah, because it's a well and we had a pump on it and it blew out a section. So three of the units were without water and I had to address that quickly and so forth.
So what is in the future for you? What's your next deal?
Well, I'm trying to get something, say, I look at it with twofold. If it is 30 units, 20 to 30 units where I can go by myself, I'm also looking at 100 plus units where I can partner up and underwrite it and present it to Jermaine, who is my coach before, and have that one syndicated and so forth. So that's the two ways I'm looking at it.
Well, you're certainly in a good area in the Carolinas. There's a lot of opportunity there. It's growing really fast. I was just reading a report. GloveStreet just put out a report for the areas that were growing fastest, and Carolina was there. Phoenix was there. Charlotte, Raleigh, Phoenix. And there was one other. I forget what it was. But yeah, if you could recommend any book that you've read, what would be that book and why?
The last book I read was The Four Agreements.
Oh, yeah. Tom Brady reads that every year. So when I heard that, I got it and read it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know. So that book helped you to do some introspection and help you to make four agreements with yourself. And it helps to shape how you view the world and other people, help to mold you as a person. So that was the last book I read. Before that, I read the book, and I think it was your book with the people from different backgrounds in life.
Yeah, right.
The story of that guy who was on drug, went to prison. That one stood out more than the rest to me.
Rob Roswell.
Yeah,
he's a great guy. He's an insiders club. Just saw him a couple weeks ago in San Diego. He builds houses now down in Mexico for people that don't have houses. He's an awesome guy. He just keeps giving back. For those that aren't familiar with Rob Roswell, I always mispronounce it, but it's... And so he ended up on heroin. And if you end up on heroin, you typically either end up in prison or you end up dead. And he ended up in prison, and then he was born again, changed his life around, found a good woman when he got out, and then he started doing some auto mechanics. He bought an auto mechanics shop, and then he started buying multifamily, came through here about 2006, and remained always coming to the events, and he's owned a lot of apartments, and he's buying a bunch more, sold off all his auto mechanics shops, and he's just a great guy. He's a lot of fun to be around. Come to Ultimate Partnering and you'll see them. By the way, if anybody's interested in ultimatepartnering.com, that's going to be in San Diego this year. So ultimatepartnering.com, you can find that information there. But Rob will be there. Rob, are you going, Glendon?
Yeah, I registered from last year, UP.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, good. Yeah, so we'll see you there as well. All right, well, this has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. This is how we dissected this 6-unit mobile home park, an unusual deal, but it doesn't matter what type of deal you get to get started. You just got to get started. You get that first deal done and then the momentum starts. And before you know it, 3, 4, 5 deals deep. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get more systems in place because I'm growing too fast. But it's that first deal that's the most important deal. And it just doesn't matter what size it is or what it is. It's just you get in the game. You're over the hump. You're on the other side of the fence. The difference between those people that haven't done a deal yet, it's getting over that fence because it doesn't matter how high you climb to look over that fence. You'll never understand what the experience is like until you have a deal under your belt. And once you get that deal under your belt, you're over that fence. It's like the whole world opens up. The pressure's off. You have a lot more confidence in yourself. You know the system works. You portray that confidence to the brokers, the property managers, your investment partners, and you just start moving. That story plays itself over and over again in the 21 years that we've been teaching people. And it happened to me. Took me 9 months to do my first deal. Scared stiff. Got my best friend Rob to buy it with me because I figured if I was going down, I better take somebody with me. And then within 3 months, we had three more. Within 6 months, we had nine. Within the first year, we had 11. And then we're off and running to 9,000 units. All right. So that's another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. See you next week. And we'll do it all again. Bye, everybody.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.